It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Welcome back, team. I missed you. I'm really happy to be bringing you another episode this week, and I have a special guest. This week, we have a leadership coach. That's right, this week I got to talk to leadership coach Iggy Perillo. Iggy has been working in leadership for a very long time. She has a website, worksportlife.com, and she has helped out an organization you might be a little bit familiar with, because they have held the Hydra for several years, and that is the Rose City Rollers. She has helped coach all levels of that organization, all teams, and it was really exciting to get a chance to get to know Iggy better and her take on leadership and especially helping new leaders. We talk a lot about how to help Derby leaders evolve in a new world, how to cultivate new leaders, which is a challenge in itself. Approaching difficult conversations is a topic that we spent some time on, as well as setting up new leaders for success, and why leading with organizational skills, like being a spreadsheet boss, isn't going to cut it anymore in today's world. And with that, I want to take you to the conversation with leadership coach Iggy Perillo. Joining me this week on Power Through the Fourth Whistle is Iggy Perillo. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here. I'm stoked to be here.
Iggy, tell me about you. Tell me about your background and how you found roller derby and became involved with the sport.
Right. Well, I don't want to ruin anyone's day, but I don't really know how to roller skate. I was last seriously skated as a fourth grader at several birthday parties. Very popular. When you would stop by just like running into the wall at the rink. That's the extent of my skating abilities. But I am currently in the field of leadership and team development, and I bring together leaders who want to be more awesome in their work, sport, or life by facilitating masterminds is kind of my main focus. And also, I love engaging with leaders in roller derby and other sports to just figure out what it's like for them and how to make their lives and leadership better. I found derby as a fan. I live in Portland, Oregon, so there's a pretty significant amount of derby that happens here, if you can imagine. And yeah, went to a couple bouts and then did a little volunteering with the league as a working with the juniors program, and eventually was called in to work with the adult teams and the adult programs. And so now I'm engaged with the Rose City Rollers in many ways, for many helping them out. And through that, got more connected with more folks in the world of derby. Like, it's such an amazing network of people, like truly globally, that I connect with leaders all around the world and talk with them about leadership now and do other trainings and webinars and blah, blah, blah. You know, the kind of boring stuff that goes with that. But for me, the exciting part is often just talking with people about like leadership and derby and what that's like.
What a place to find roller derby there in Portland with the Rose City Rollers.
I know, just by random. And people, and then learning that people like literally travel the world to come here to skate or, you know, like to be on this team. I'm like, oh, I just happened to come to town for some work. Great, cool. You know, like it's lucked out, definitely lucked out.
It's a really great opportunity to fall in love with the sport.
Definitely. Oh, so great. I'm a huge fan. I love going to bouts. Love it.
Great team. World champs.
Yeah. So I've heard, you know, yeah, they're world champs, but also practice like all the time. Not now in the current COVID times, but like just such amazing dedication, like all throughout the league. You know, there's four different adult home teams and then a million juniors teams and this whole giant program, but there's, it's so active over there at the track all the time. And you could go previously, like a year from ago, probably any day of the week, almost any time of day after, probably literally any time of day, and see people would be there skating and practicing and working out. Like, such a dedication. It's really amazing.
It's an amazing organization. I read a little bit more about like what you do on your website, and it looks like you were doing like outdoorsy stuff out there, like bringing people together, helping them become better leaders. Can you tell me some about that? Because it sounds like really awesome.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time working for the Outward Bound schools in America. And so the purpose is to get people to learn that they can do more than they think is possible. So you rope up a bunch of strangers and take them out into the wilderness for 3 weeks, and suddenly they are very capable of doing a lot of things that they never imagined. My sort of home base for that is actually northern Minnesota, where I work leading canoe expeditions in the summer and dog sled and ski expeditions in the winter in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. So right on the Canadian border, like the, you know, northernmost tip of Minnesota. And it's been, yeah, it's an amazing experience. I think that's where I spent a lot of time learning how to cultivate leaders, because it's not a guided trip where the two instructors, like my role was, my title was instructor, not guide. So my job was to help the folks on the trip take over everything they possibly could and be running the trip themselves by the end. So within a few weeks, folks had never, like literally some folks who had never seen snow before, but also folks who had never really gone camping or spent time in the wilderness, or let alone traveled by canoe for weeks at a time. By the end of some of those trips, these folks are figuring out what to do, how to cook, what to eat, like everything. And it's just like an amazing experience to see folks take on that sense of ownership and that sense of like, oh, I can do this. And if I can do this in this crazy environment, imagine what I can do when I go back home. So that idea of transferring this sense of empowerment and leadership, like how am I gonna get myself plus these other six rando people to like do, to get literally from A to B, but to get here and still be together and connected. Like you need, like it really makes you understand how well you need each other and what a team really means and what it works, looks like and how it can work.
Were they often people who knew each other beforehand, or were they sometimes strangers too?
Usually strangers. Like some groups would come like together, like a team or an organization would bring a crew together, but most often, strangers who all just happen to want to be at the same place at the same time.
And that has to be so interesting, because you're probably trying to figure out your role in the group and how it works. It must be kind of a confidence building experience.
Oh, absolutely. And folks, like we had structures where people were rotated through different roles, I guess we'll say. I was going to say like they're forced to lead, but like really given opportunities to take on like a leadership role or a followership role. And like literally like jobs around the camp, like you're going to have to cook one of these nights. Like you can't like go for 3 weeks without that being your job at some point. And so I think by giving people these opportunities, and they would, because they would rotate through and because they would have multiple opportunities, it was such a great learning environment for folks who, like, you know, early on in the trip, there's their day to sort of be one of the leaders and kind of what they're doing, and we're supporting them and helping them and training them. And then by the end of the trip, they take that role on again. And it's just, sometimes it's night and day. You're like, oh, wait, where did this kid come from? You know, like, who is this? They're suddenly like confident, strong, out there, able to lead, able to like hold other people accountable, which I think is tricky in peer situations sometimes, obviously, and able to just be amazing leaders. Like I've seen so many folks kind of take on that role and own it, that it's really amazing to watch.
So you get to take people on these excursions out of their comfort zone, and then later on you found Rose City Rollers and Roller Derby. What did you do with that team? Like how do you work with that team, or have you worked with that team?
Yeah, I've worked with all of the, like literally all the teams almost at Rose City. Like there's like the little youngest Rose Petals, maybe not the, there's an even younger team, but like it was basically like we played games in the track and ran around for an hour. And then the juniors program and the adult home teams, and then also the Wheels of Justice, which is the all-star team. And so my role with these teams is to help them engage as excellent teammates and excellent leaders for themselves and each other. And I facilitate a lot of, like my method is to facilitate a lot of conversations within the team. And sometimes a team will come to me and be like, oh, we're really struggling with this situation or this conflict or this change that has happened. And so sometimes it's a specific thing, but other times I've gotten into this sort of role where I'll meet up with teams early in the season and be like, great, like, what are your goals? What are you working on? How can I help bring you together and connect you, because there's always some turnover, right? There's always a few new people, a few old faces. And if you, unless you're engaging dynamically with the people that you are now, if you're holding on to this past idea of like, well, last year this all worked and it was great, like, cool. But if you're holding on to this last year idea with a couple new faces, a couple new people, a new this, a new that, like, it's not really gonna go as well. So I think my role is to facilitate some sometimes challenging, but also hopefully ultimately rewarding conversations within the team so that people can engage, connect, and be ready to like hold themselves and each other accountable for going hard essentially and surviving through a season that can feel long. People feel slumps, people feel lulls, you know, there's like the whole roller coaster of emotions that happen throughout a season.
That sounds amazing, because so many teams go through all these things, and I love that you get to come in and just kind of help with that, because I think sometimes people don't think to ask for like outside assistance. And I love that you can like play that role for the team.
Yeah, it helps a lot that I'm not on the team, because I am like literally an outside perspective. And I think that gives me, like, I know the people, like I've some of these folks I've known for a couple of years now. So I'm familiar with their personalities and who they are and, you know, some of the dynamics. But for the most part, I'm not entangled in them in the same way that a team captain might be, that sometimes takes on that sort of role to facilitate team functions, or a member of their like team, like, you know, league hierarchy somewhere who's like, oh, I'm on the blah, blah, blah committee coming in to show up and do this thing. So I think it helps to offer an outside perspective. They like to say I'm unbiased. I think I just have aligned biases that are, you know, biased toward action, biased toward like excellence, like fundamentally, which means you can't tolerate a lot of baloney all the time.
Moving forward in a good direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of moving forward to good direction, I feel like the topic of leadership in the roller derby community has been a really big one this year. It's been brought up a lot in Facebook Lives, in all types of situations. And a lot of leagues now are trying to figure out how they need to evolve their leagues in a more productive direction. And that means sometimes changeover in leadership. How do you think we could help derby leaders evolve?
The flat answer is there's no one flat answer, right? Like, I think it's obviously like each league has its own unique dynamic and its own unique history. I think there's a tension that leaders feel between how things have always been and how they sort of envision or want things to be. And I think there are many leaders in derby that feel like they're on this cusp right now between the past and a slightly different direction for the future sometimes. And yet sometimes there are these people are maybe like a league founder or a league originator or part of the first team or part of the first initial ground level creators of a league, I think are still present in many of these leagues and many of these places. And I think that is another challenge, whether or not these folks are in leadership roles. I think people get, we get attached to what we create. We get attached to what we have invested time and energy in, and especially folks that have been around longer. People look to them as a leader, whether or not they're a team, you know, have a title, right? People are like, oh, you've been here 4 years, 6 years, 10 years. Great. What do you think? What do you know? Well, like people look to these folks with a lot of years behind them. And I think they still carry weight in leagues. And sometimes that weight and that pressure is like nostalgic, not always. And sometimes I think some of that weight and pressure is like, great, well, yeah, we've done this. And now here's where we want to go next. And not everyone is on board with changing perspective or changing like really like structures or how people do business. So, I mean, there's not a one thing to say to help people out, but I think this evolution is going to take really the key parts of leadership, like really great communication. And I know already I've talked with leaders who are like, oh, it seems we strive to be transparent, but it's hard, or you can't do this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, so communication is key. And I think part of communication, people always focus on getting info out, but like really deep listening to what's happening and really deep listening to what are the perspectives within this league? Who have we not traditionally listened to? Who is out here that is on maybe our fringes or maybe beyond our fringes that we need to bring into these conversations more? So communication is super key. And I think this idea of, I mean, really like willingness, will, I don't know what to call it, perseverance, that if you see a change that needs to happen, being like having the, I don't know, the energy, the drive, the confidence to say something that might be unpopular or might like be unpopular only because it's different, only because it's a change, Or it might be blatantly unpopular that I've talked with folks who are in the midst of a rebranding and people are very attached to the old name, the old logos, the old imagery. And some are not, you know, it's obviously all across the board there. But I think within many teams, we've seen this play out on the in the public with the Washington team and things like that, where there are people that are very committed and people are like, that's committed on both sides. Like, this is amazing. Like, it's our history. It's a legacy. And other people are like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is so offensive. How could you? Blah, blah, blah. And so I think without will and without communication and like a sense of drive and a sense of alacrity and urgency, I think not much is going to happen. So I hope leaders like evolve as they evolve are more willing to take a stand, probably when things are unpopular or when they get blowback. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean unpopular, but I think there's a very popular structure of derby that we feel like they're very non-hierarchical, that like anyone could start a league. Anyone could get together and talk to their team leadership. It's not like, oh, I can never talk to them because they're a board member or they're whatever. I feel like the, you know, your board member might be skating with you on your team, or your league president might be another buddy that you've in your neighbor or something like that. So there's this very flat structure, and I think within that structure, that still you might need to be telling your friends and your peers that, hey, how things have been is not the direction we're going to keep going. We need to go another way, and getting people on board with that takes some leadership vision for sure.
Well, let me pitch a scenario to you that I think might be relatable to a lot of leagues right now. In my league right now, most people are kind of taking a break from Derby. Understandably, we've all kind of agreed on it. We're not going to even try to look to starting anything till next year. We all know that. So people are focusing on their lives. That's good and fine. But a few of us who felt strongly like we could get started on at least some paperwork have started looking at our bylaws. So we've got like a really small committee. None of us who are on this really small committee wrote these bylaws. So that's one thing. Another interesting thing that we noticed the group of us had in common is all of us have been a part of multiple leagues. This isn't our first league. We actually have a lot of perspectives, which is interesting. So we're going through and we're seeing some things and we're like, oh, I guess we just haven't looked at this in a while. This is outdated. Like, oh, this could be better. So we're just making these tweaks as we go. We're kind of taking the ball and running with it. But in the back of my mind, I'm very nervous about what happens when we go talk to the people who wrote this and put a lot of work into it in the first place. And it was really good at the time. And it's just different now. So what kind of like advice, like what would your take on this situation be?
I think you're definitely not alone, right? A lot of folks are looking at their bylaws or their code of conduct or their league mission, I think, and seeing, if nothing else, like outdated terminology, outdated kind of perspectives, and also things that don't reflect where leagues are, where they want to be headed, I think. Or probably, I think sometimes they don't even reflect how the league is actually literally functioning in the moment.
Exactly. There were some things we found in this document where we're like, do we ever actually do this? Do we ever like call this penalty on anybody if they don't do something? Like, and we don't. So it's like, why is it in here? That's kind of weird. Let's just pitch it. We don't do it anyway.
Right, right. And then, I mean, you get down to this like realization that you're like, oh, this isn't actually how we function. This document is sort of this maybe aspirational or reflection of a time's past or a reflection of the aspirations of a person in the time's past. Like, it's not even necessarily super always like aligned with the present. I think some of those conversations, I bet, I hear your trepidation in your voice where you're like, cool, I'm going to have to show this to the people that wrote it or to the people that are more invested or like, oh, hey, look at this cool thing I did. And I think, I mean, to me, it sounds like showing it to like an older sibling. We're like, look at this cool thing. And you're like, oh, they're just going to stomp it. Like,
we cut out X many pages. Are you proud of us?
Yeah. And they're like, I put my blood and sweat into those pages. And you're like, oh, they were terrible. Yeah. I think my most general advice is to like, I mean, if you can't engage them in the process, and I agree, like there's so many people that are just like, I need a break from everything. And they have a lot of other concerns right now. So like Derby is not where their energy or time or thoughts are going to be. So it's great that you're like looking into these things and taking them on and like this small core of people are engaging. And it's great that it's a core of people and not just like, I decided to do this on my own, because then that can be a weird process where people are like, what is happening here?
Because then it all comes back on you.
Oh yeah. Well, there's that. And you're like, people are like, what, where does this even come from? You're like, oh, this is in my mind. This makes so much sense. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be a time when you're going to need to ask these other folks like, hey, I'm curious, when the last time was you read these bylaws? Like, have you looked at them lately? And Have you ever thought that some parts could be improved or changed or enhanced? And they might be like, you might get a no to both of those, or you might get a yes and a no, like whatever it is. I think the approaching with curiosity always helps versus judgment, especially when you're making changes, right? To something people might be invested in. People tend to take that personally, some people can take that personally and be like, oh, you're destroying this amazing thing I created. You're like, this is a part of me. I'm like, well, it's not, it's some words on a piece of paper that aren't really as awesome as they were in the past. And so, I mean, it's worth acknowledging the work that's gone into those. Cause I'm sure several someone spent plenty of time creating them, developing them, getting input from other leagues, getting input from other people. Like, I know Derby's very, there's tons of cross-pollination that happens. If you just post out like, hey, who else is revising our bylaws? You'll probably hear from 20 people, you know, who are like, me too, oh my gosh, like, here's what we're doing. You know, here's our process, here's our thoughts. And I think, but engaging on your local level with curiosity before judgment helps a ton to be like, hey, have you thought about these? They might say no. And you're like, well, I've noticed some things that I don't think are what we want to agree on as a league, as our direction, or what we want to agree on. And so to engage those as conversations versus like, hey, check out this document I just built, and they read it and they cry, you know, because they're like, you destroyed everything, you know. So I would have some very intentional conversations for those folks first to, see what they think, if they have thought about them ever, and to maybe like, you'll know your personalities better than I do, but some of them it might be worth having like, hey, this part right here seems like we can probably agree that this terminology is out of date. And they might be like, oh yeah, you know, like that's just how we talked back then. Like, great, cool, easy fix. Like to go for the easy wins first before you get to maybe the more deeper things. And like to move forward with agreement always helps to get agreement first. And you're probably gonna get to a point where there's not agreement though, where they're like, whoa, this is not right.
One step too far. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not how we want this to be. Like, it was so important that we have all those penalties and fines in there. And you're like, it's not important that we have penalties and fines in there. You know, like a philosophical disagreement. And then, having it not devolve into a personal fight, right, is kind of the fear. I think we often fear that if we disagree over ideas, we're damaging the relationship of the people involved. And like, to separate the relationship from the ideas. So the people that are relating and having this disagreement, like, you can still actually relate with someone very well and have a positive relationship, but it's actually better relationship if you are willing to address disagreements and willing to address things that you don't see eye to eye on. And so there's plenty of formats for like bringing up like, hey, here's a point where we disagree conceptually. And to like, it can help to like address this at a philosophical or conceptual level. Like, this seems really punitive. I want it to be more restorative. I want us to be more transformative than punitive. I want this to be more like, I think our league is moving more toward a direction of inclusion. This seems like it's pushing us toward exclusion. You know, whatever the conceptual framework you can offer people, I think helps those conversations. You might not have agreement. You might not. I mean, that's really part of it. And some of those very loud voices might be some of the original creators and founders, or, you know, someone out of anywhere from the league. And just like someone I've talked to recently is like, beware the data point of one. Like, one really loud voice is still one voice. And they can rally all their friends and they can all agree, but there might be a loud voice that has a lot of social capital within the organization, within the league, but it's still one voice. And depending on how you go about adjusting, you know, what your process is, it might be a vote, it might be a consensus, you know, like however you're going to engage with folks. I think it's worth engaging with them. The worst is when people are like, oh, this person's going to hate this, I'll just slip it under the rug. Like, oh, this person is going to like get in my grill about it. Like, I'll just not have that conversation. Like, that only, it's like a boil festering, like a blister that's like getting bigger and bigger, right? Not that you need to like dive in with like a sword to pop it, but like, I think the idea is if you don't address these, like, you already know, I feel like you already know like some of those conversations, maybe some of those personalities, some of those people, and some of those points where you're like, this one's going to be a tough conversation, and to prepare yourself for the conversation, but also, if you know it's going to be that hard, you can like literally lay the groundwork and be like, hey, I think this is going to be a hard conversation. I want you, like, we're going to talk about this thing. I'm going to give you the rewrite ideas in advance. Like, I would love to talk through these ideas with you. And like, and it's worth repeating to people, like, I'm not attacking you as a person. I'm not attacking your ideas, which is in reality attacking you. I'm talking about this concept, this idea, this wording, this paragraph, this, you know, bylaw right here, like, to really divide it down. Cause I think we tend to conflate those sometimes, especially if we hold these things dear to ourselves as creators.
One of the things that you touched on that I really liked was the idea of being curious. And I think in organizations and leadership especially, I love the idea of just approaching probably most situations with questions before the assumptions. Like, you might think you know what's going to happen in your head, but maybe just coming from of always leading with questions to actually find out what the person thinks about it, because you might go talk to the person and find out they're like, that thing, like, I'm actually not that emotionally attached to it anymore. And then you've been building it up in your head this whole time, and all you had to do was ask. So you never know, like, you might be on the same page about a lot of things and just don't know it until you start asking those questions, and not in a accusing way, or, you know, just
like a legitimately curious way.
Yeah.
I think you build so much connection and so much momentum.
And don't ask questions where it automatically assumes that one answer or the other is like good or bad. Just be like, what's the answer? Like, and then let's see what happens from there.
Like, tell me about this, your thoughts in this bylaw versus why'd you write such a terrible bylaw? Like, two very different questions, right?
Exactly.
And like comically different. But I think engaging people and asking like, what was like the purpose behind this is a great one too, because I think you might just be able to address that purpose in a more clear way, and to like, you know, frame it as clarifying and simplifying versus, I was talking to someone else recently. I was like, we're going to cut like half of this stuff out. You know, like, there's just fluff or processes that don't matter or don't make sense anymore. Like, I think there's a lot to be said for simplifying and clarifying. I think that's a win for everybody involved.
And I've noticed over the years, I feel like sometimes a lot of like formalized language is thrown in just because maybe we think that makes a more legitimate bylaw set of documents.
Like, we have to like add the syllables. We don't care. Throw more words in there. Or whoever wrote it is like of that sort of technical, maybe legal-ish mind. And you're like, okay, just say talk to a person versus hold a in-depth conversation or whatever it is, discourse.
Like, I'll confess right now, like I try not to even read bylaws if I can get away with it. If I see it's that many pages, I'm like, just give me the Cliff's Notes and we'll move on.
Like, what do I actually need to know? What do I actually need to do? Like, what actually is relevant, right? I bet you're not alone. I'm sure you're not alone in wanting to just know what matters or cut to the chase. Like, why not just write the Cliff Notes first and call it a day?
There you go.
Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our wonderful sponsors. Roller Derby Athletics provides high-level coaching to derby athletes worldwide. They've been the leaders in home-based roller derby cross training for over 7 years. They offer team training plans to support your league. RDA wants to help teams keep working together toward their goals. Membership is now open year-round, so you have access whenever you need it. You can sign up for the Essential Plan, which is great if you prefer to do workout plans on your own, at your own pace. You can choose from a huge library of derby-specific workouts. If you get stuck, there are instructional videos that can help you understand the exact moves you need to get maximum results. There's also the MVP plan, which is perfect for the derby athlete who enjoys additional coaching. This plan is personalized to your needs and can help you reach your goals a lot quicker with the help of RDA's Skater Success Coaches. You can follow the workout calendar and drag and drop it to fit your schedule and get access to all the boot camps and group fitness challenges for free. My favorite group challenge is Suns Out, Funds Out, because that one helped me get to my first pull-up ever. And I love that the workouts don't take up a ton of your time. They're short and effective. Roller Derby Athletics offers a ton of derby-specific workouts that will help you to be stronger and faster on the track. And it's all provided to you in the palm of your hand in an easy-to-use app. RDA wants to keep everyone safe, strong, and unstoppable. Get started on your fitness journey today. Visit rollerderbyathletics.com/plans to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Bout Betties, the only roller derby subscription service in the world. They offer a range of levels, so you're sure to find a pack that fits in your budget. So whether you're wanting derby enamel pins, comfy athleisure clothes, or sturdy workout apparel, they have you covered. As for me, I super love the apparel. You may have noticed how often I wear it when I make videos for our Facebook page. The leggings, shorts, and sports bras are amazing. The material is ridiculously silky, smooth, and soft. The first time I pulled on my leggings, I could not stop touching my legs and asking friends to touch my legs so they could feel the magic that is this material. And it's so darn cute. There's mermaids, dinosaurs, cats, and many fun new designs coming your way. Whether you're hitting hitting the track, skate park, gym, or grocery store, you will turn heads and bring joy to those you meet. They offer sizes small through 3X, and leggings are bout tested and derby durable. Subscribe today using our podcast promo code POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. It's like derby Christmas every single month, and yes, they do ship internationally. Now, back to our show.
We've talked a little bit about leadership. We're probably going to be having some new leaders stepping into positions soon. So how do we like cultivate our new leaders? How do we encourage people to be confident in taking on leadership roles that they can do it and give them like the empowerment to go ahead?
I've definitely talked with folks in those roles who are like, hey, I just got elected. Now what? And I've talked with folks on the other end who are like, oh, this is the end of my term, I'm leaving, and I don't want things to fall apart. You know, they sort of both. And I think this literally like slow skating time for most teams and most leagues is a great time to talk about your succession planning or generativity in your league. Like, how are you setting up the next person to take on whatever your role is? And I've talked with folks who are engaging in like literally documentation of their job, because I think there's many mysterious jobs and committees and roles out there where people are like, yeah, I guess I could do this, but what really is it? Like, what do you actually do to do this thing, or how do you do it? So setting people up for the future, like, you know, giving them the tools to do your job, like a calendar of this or that, you know, like some info can help. Talking with them as a human, like, hey, person, I've talked with leaders who are like, oh, if I don't do this job, no one will do it. If I don't keep going, everything will fall apart. Like, I'm going to get reelected. I guess I'm going to run again. I guess I'm going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think some of those folks feel trapped a little bit into this tunnel, or like they can't stop. And sometimes they get burned out and leave anyways. And then it's like, just drop everything and run. Or sometimes they're not setting up the future well. And I think there is maybe a little bit of an art, but also some science to like cultivating leadership within your league. Like, who are the people that engage? Who are the people that maybe aren't engaged, but you think would be great? Or who are the people that you see on the fringes? You're like, oh yeah, like let's draw them in closer, and figuring out like where their strengths are, what they can do. I think a lot of leadership, to me, like it's obviously easier to do things that you are strengths of yours. So as a leader though, if you're like, I'm about to leave, here's how I've done this job, the next person is like, that's actually not how I want to do the job. Or those aren't my strengths. Like, you were like made, like all this, you were really focused on this thing and really great at this, but I'm actually really great at this kind of parallel piece of this job. So when you're passing on as the person in a role, when you're cultivating a new person, you're not cultivating a clone of yourself. You're cultivating a leader who can be autonomous and make choices and make decisions, but understands how to do their job. Giving them the tools to do their job well, I think is a huge piece. And then as that new leader showing up, oftentimes you can communicate with the last person and be like, well, how did you do this? What are the priorities I should be looking at? Or where do I even need to have my focus right now that I have this role, this job, you know, this thing? And I've talked to those folks, and sometimes they're very surprised. Like, oh, I thought I was going to be doing X, Y, Z, and I'm doing A, B, C instead. And like, this is not what I actually envisioned. Like, but now I have this role for, you know, this amount of time or whatever. And like, they sometimes feel like thrown in the deep end a little bit. So it's always, I think, those folks have definitely told me they appreciate talking with the past leader, but also that relationship can't be trying to clone them, you know, again, too. Like, I think people resist. And I know Derby's very known for independent personalities, let's say. So people want to be able to do it their own way and in a way that works for them, and obviously in a leadership role that works for the people around them. So I think some of the new leaders I've talked to, they want tools. They want also like this weird, like it's a balance of freedom, but also support, you know, like not so much support that you can't do anything, but not so much freedom that you just are like blowing away in the wind out there. So, I mean, it's not a great, again, no hard and fast rule, obviously, but how to think about, are you setting this person up for success? And maybe what can you do to help them out? And I think that actually comes from the previous person in the role, but also the folks around them with like, hey, you know, nudge, nudge, this is a good time of year to start doing that one thing. Or like, oh, hey, I don't know if you know this thing's upcoming, like we should probably, you know. I think there's a lot of collective wisdom, even if it's not like documented, like a, you know, like a job description or a, you know, a job flow or something like that. I think there's a lot of knowledge that people can offer that keep people from making the most obvious mistakes, but then give them also the freedom to make the decisions in their new role. And like, really, like, the, if you want a leader to thrive, like anyone, if you want them to thrive, like, praise really helps. And like, recognition helps so much. I think, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've talked to leaders in Derby who are like, yeah, I'm just out here all by myself. Like, me and my committee, me and my committee chairs, me and my two other, my co-captain, like, we're on this little isolation island out here. Like, people feel disconnected in that role sometimes. So building those connections and getting, like, honestly, feedback and connection with the people around them, positive or constructive, both help. But like, the positive parts will fuel people forever.
I feel like oftentimes I see when the past leader is moving on, it's like one of two types, where they either like hand off everything and say, here you go, okay, bye, I'm out. Or they kind of lurk over your shoulder, like micromanaging every little thing you do. If there was like one thing you could suggest to try and find the middle ground of like support, but not suffocating, what would that be?
Well, I think that past leader, I would be intentional about choosing your role. Is your role to be a mentor? Like, that's one role you could take on. Is your role to be a coach and really like coach them through the steps? Like, that's another role to take on. Is your role to be a teacher? Like, you need to actually literally teach them pieces of the job that you think they don't know. So I would choose one of those, or like a similar role, like with intention, like, oh, my job, you know, like, is your role to be the fairy godparent? Like, great, like, cool. Whatever you, however you want to be in that role, I would be intentional about that. And I would talk to your new leader, like, what do you actually need? Like, I want to be your fairy godparent. Do you, is that what you need? Is that useful? Like, oh no, you need someone to like pat you on the back and tell you you're doing a good job. Great. Or you need someone to like literally get out of your way. Great. Like, I think those conversations are so valuable to happen. And I think people, again, where people feel like they're going to damage a relationship if they're like, hey, you're stepping on my toes. Like, I think there's, your newer leader might not know how to set appropriate, not like appropriate, like inappropriate, but like the correct boundary for themselves. Like, they don't quite know. And they, I think they want help. They're like, okay, this is new. I don't know. You know, it's, there's often feelings of anxiety or like trepidation. Like, I'm jumping into this. I don't know everything. You know, like, they're at least aware of that there's stuff they don't know. So they welcome help and support. And is that help and support really helpful and supportive? Or is it a micromanager? Or is it someone in their shoulder whispering, like, I would have done it differently. And you're like, that's not helpful. You know, like, well, that's not how I did it. Like, no one cares. You know, like, if you are so attached that it needs to be done your way, like, that's on you.
Yeah. How do you get the person to eventually just let go? Because sometimes I've seen like the new person has the job. They're doing the job. They're not doing it the exact same way you do it, but they're doing it good enough. Like, there is a threshold of, are they doing all the basic things that are most important? Then great. Are they doing this little tiny detail you thought was important? No.
They changed the one thing that you were so attached to that you're like, no, it's all terrible now. Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's going to call on your new leader to really communicate effectively, to be honest. Like, that new leader needs to be able to have that conversation with like, you know, you're actually not helping me right now. I know you're good intentioned. I know you've done this in the past. I know that you've have a lot of experience with this, and here's how I need you to help me. And here's ways I don't need you to help me. And here's where I think things might get off the rails a little bit, and be able to set like firm boundaries, and also hold your, I think that comes from a place like the very helpful person, like, thinks they're being really helpful. They think they're like, oh, I just need to help them out. Like, oh, they miss this detail. Like, oh, like, that comes often from a really positive place of like wanting to be supportive and wanting to like offer their energy to this newer person. And if it's not working for your, as a leader, if it's not working for you, if the counsel you're getting is not helpful, like, it's time for you to set a boundary, and your person is going to be helpful and like not intentionally mess with that boundary, but like, oh, well, cool, you told me not to get in your grill about this thing, how about this other thing? And you're like, okay, don't get in my grill about anything. You know, whatever that boundary is, be ready for people to not instantly grasp that that's a boundary for them, or what it looks like, or how it is. And I think that takes just really direct communication that it can be a practice, and it might be like a conversation to prepare for a little bit, to be like, hey, I know you think you're being helpful, but I only want one email from you a week and not one every day. You know, whatever it is, just to be acknowledging that that person is trying to come from a good place, but the result is not working for you as a leader.
If your new leader isn't naturally assertive and doesn't take the initiative to have these conversations with the past leadership and just suddenly one day is like, I've had it, I'm walking. How do you help that person come back into the fold? They're just like, nope, I'm done. Sometimes it goes too far and you don't know it's going too far until they just suddenly leave one day and you're like, what happened? Could we have done something better?
Right. Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, we could have done something better like 6 months ago when this was starting. Yeah. And you don't know. And I think that's, there's this sort of myth of leadership that the leader has to be like stoic and out front and like a positive face and like tough and all these things that are like kind of weird inhuman stereotypes. Like, I don't think any of those qualities actually make you a great leader. They make you maybe look like a okay leader, but the reality is those are all just like masks for like whatever is going on inside internally that is not coming out. Like, people know that you're a human. Assertiveness is an interesting question, or confident. Like, you have a new leader that comes off as super unconfident and they're, you can hear it in their voice or their emails are all like, what do you think? Or I'm thinking perhaps maybe we should possibly look at doing this one thing. And you're like, just get to the thing. You know, like, what do you want to do? I think those folks maybe need some coaching. They maybe need a little bit of support. They might just need to be like, hey, I don't know if you realize this. Like, to have someone who sees it happening from the outside, call them in a little bit and be like, it looks like you're not projecting, like, you either you don't know what you want to have happen, or you're really not confident about it, or you're not being really assertive about what it is that you want to have happen. I think those are conversations worth happening, like, with anyone, if you see it in one of your leaders, for sure, because I think it sounds like you see what's going to happen at the end. Like, you can already predict, like, oh, this person, they're not very assertive, they're going to get steamrolled, then they're going to feel terrible, then they're going to leave, and then, you know, you just lose that energy and that commitment and that connection to your team. I mean, to me, those folks like need support and help. And maybe in these habits, probably, I suspect some of these modes of communication are habits that are in other parts of their life. I've had so many people tell me like, oh, I'm conflict averse. Like, I just avoid conflict. Conflict happens. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, great. You may be conflict averse in your life, and now you're called on in this leadership role where you like really can't be conflict averse, like, or that comes off as really damaging to the organization if you're like, well, yeah, that was bad, but not that bad, cool, we'll just don't do it again, you know, like, whatever it is, like, they, you know, it just things build up over time because they're not being dealt with assertively. I think, like you were saying, that, yeah, it's tough.
Is this a good place to come in and lead with the questions again, if you're kind of observing this, like, you're not one of the ones in the relationship, but maybe you come over and you're like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, oh, I'm fine. And they're like, well, actually, how's it going really?
Right. Yeah. Well, or like, hey, how's it going with this, you know, bylaws conversation that seems to be happening? I think it's always great to ask people. And the more relationship you have with folks, obviously the more willing they are to have those conversations. But I don't know that, I think one of the beauties of that sort of flat hierarchy of Derby is like, why can't anyone walk up to any leader and be like, seems like you're having trouble with this. Is that right? You know, like, it looks like this is really hard for you. Is that really true? Or am I just kind of misreading this? You know, or, I mean, even there's a whole, I did a training recently on validation, like validating people's feelings, which doesn't mean you agree with them, but also leave space for you to sort of guess and speculate about what's really happening deeper. And it builds like a lot of connection to be like, oh, you look like, you seem like this is hard. Is that hard? You know, then you're suddenly in this conversation, but like, oh yeah, this is totally hard. Or like, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, okay, it's not hard for you. Like, how does it feel? Like, what is this like for you then? It seems, you know, like, doesn't seem like smooth sailing, like whatever it is, just engage that person in some conversation can open a ton of doors for communication, which then once things communication starts happening, I think that is a catalyst for so many other things.
Something I would love to see in Derby going forward is just identifying these things before the person wants to go away. Like, there are so many reasons why people leave Derby, and I would just like all of us to be just a little bit more observant if we can, and ask more questions so we can figure out how to keep everybody involved if they want to be.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of energy that gets lost, and I think in ways it doesn't need to be. And I think there's, yeah, I would agree. Good point.
Another question I have for you, you've brought up before why leading with organizational skills might not cut it anymore, and I'm very intrigued. Well, what do you mean by that?
Oh yeah, I think there was a I've talked with folks who are, I see this often in like a co-captain relationship. So there's two captains on it for a team, and one captain is Captain Spreadsheet and one captain is Captain Hugs, right?
That's a really good description.
Have you seen this before ever? Like, I don't know, maybe obviously a stereotype, obviously, but I've seen it a few times where one's like, well, I do the communication, I do the emails, I do the scheduling and the blah, 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 and I make sure this is on time and I blah, blah, blah. I track all this stuff. And the other captain's like, well, I'm in charge of how people feel and talking and communication with the emotions and blah, blah, blah. And one captain's spreadsheet is like, I don't do emotions. And Captain Hugs is like, I don't do spreadsheets. I'm like, perfect pair, right? But in reality, like, you're both missing something, you know, like they're, and not that you both need to like literally be on the spreadsheet all day doing whatever. Like, some people have far better spreadsheet skills, like for sure, or technical skills, or, and some people have far more emotional intelligence skills and are far better at relating and having those kind of more tricky conversations or diving into conflict or diving into like sort of messy interpersonal things that I think happen sometimes. So I think if you are either one or the other exclusively, you're not going to fare super well. And I think the easier one to pick on is Captain Spreadsheets, right? Because like, they're like, I don't have emotions. Like, I just do, like, I'm all logic, you know, like the stereotype, obviously. I'm all logic. There's obviously right and wrong. I'm black and white. Everyone, I'm an open book, whatever. Here we, let's go. And you're like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And how are you going to deal with like this, like breakdown of communication that happens? Or how are you going to deal with like when your co-captain is like embroiled in this, you know, interpersonal, messy conflagration of stuff? Like, what is your role then? Like, how are you going to step up and be a leader in those times? And I think the limiting yourself to one type of role is really not helpful for you as a captain, because like the beauty of having a co-captaincy or co-leadership, or even like, I've yet to interact with a league that literally only has one person in charge. Like, sometimes there's one person with like 25 roles, but like there's usually someone else with like two roles, you know, like there's someone else in the sphere of leadership somewhere. And I think without, and like the beauty of having that other person is that they can relate and can help and support you. And if you're only there to schedule and make spreadsheets, like, you're missing like the point in some ways. Like, you're leading people, you're not leading data. Like, you're leading a team and you're not leading, you know, a stack of reports. Like, there's, the humans need a sense of connection to do well. And if you are focused exclusively in a like weird cartoonish way only on the structures, you're missing that sense of connection with the humans that is like the most meaningful, useful, and valuable part of leadership, I think.
I love that. You're leading people, not data. I think a really great example of that would just be, let's pick an easy one, attendance policy. It seems like, well, you have to hit this many or you can't be on the team. Black and white. It's so simple. We'll just do this. But it's people, and people are complicated. And sometimes the reasons they can't be there are complicated. So you do have to see everyone on the team as a complete person to fully understand the story. And then you have to decide, once you know the story, how important is this specific thing here? And should we be more accommodating for this person because of what they're going through right now?
Well, and it goes back to like, is our policy actually a good policy? Like, our attendance policy, like, is this equitable? Is it fair? Is it even reasonable? I talked to someone who was like, yeah, my league, I think, seems to be designed for a stay-at-home parent who can just, you know, drop everything at the drop of a hat and show up at 2 p.m. They're like, I work, you know, like whatever. They were kind of generalizing a little bit, but does your policy really support what you want to have happen? I mean, maybe it is like, needs to be black and white and people get the boot left and right, but I don't know that if you have the energy to give people the, you know, kick people off a team if they miss, you know, so many practices or whatever, like, it sounds unnecessarily harsh if you're trying to build a sense of connection and camaraderie and a sense of that we're in this together. And on the flip side, I've definitely talked to folks who are like, oh, well, just because they're the great skater, they get rostered all the time. And like, here I am showing up, putting in the work, but like, so-and-so just like breezes in for bouts. And you're like, and which also seems unfair, right? If it gives the appearance that skating ability makes people not have to follow other policies or other rules that the team has set up. I mean, that's a source of like team dysfunction for sure. And maybe it's true or not true, or maybe it's the perception of this or not, you know, whatever, like that is some of it. And I think those are conversations worth having with literally like the whole team. Like, what, how do we want our attendance policy to work? Like, and you'll hear people in a team meeting, I've heard people in team meetings say things like, well, we need to, you need to have a certain threshold amount, but then sometimes life happens, sometimes this, sometimes that. Like, how can we expect that, you know, if something big happens, that someone is going to be here every day? Like, that's not reasonable. And versus someone on the other side of the same argument who's like, well, if you're not dedicated, like, you're not dedicated. Like, you don't get the rewards if you don't show up. You know, like, it can be a very contentious conversation for sure, but one worth having, I would say, with all your people. And to, like, to come to a consensus on that, you know, people agree on, like, I think that's worth spending time on and worth spending time doing, if that's an issue for your team or an issue within your group of folks. If you just, I think, as leaders are like, well, we've decided this is your attendance threshold, black and white, like, that doesn't always feel like inclusive or teamy, you know, like team oriented, to just have a black and white thing. Because yeah, people are humans, weird stuff does come up. And maybe you do need to miss one more practice than normal, and maybe you should still be rostered for the bout, or maybe not. Like, I don't know. I'd say have the conversation.
Yeah. Judging each player's dedication, it seems really easy to quantify by looking at that one spreadsheet and just be like, this is how dedicated they are to the team. But it's not a complete story.
Oh, definitely not. And there's so many folks that are engaged in other ways with their league, or, you know, a lot of leagues, people have to do committee work or volunteer hours or other, you know, supporting things. And maybe like this practice time is like really, really tough for them, but they could show up and do so many other things and like be such a great contributor within the organization of the team and the organization of the league, but they just can't ever make it to a practice at this one time. You know, like, I think there are other ways to be dedicated that I think get lost in the shuffle.
Well, this has been a really awesome conversation about leadership. Do you have anything special coming up that you'd like to tell listeners about?
Two things actually come to mind. One is that, it's not 100% set in stone yet, but probably in late September or perhaps very early October, I'll be leading an online workshop on leadership skills focused on ownership and practicing the practice of ownership, which is the practice of moving your locus of control internally, so you're better able to make decisions, make things happen, and like take action on things. So that workshop is coming up. Thing two is that I'm always looking to talk with leaders in Derby, like talking with you is amazing. If you are a leader in Derby or an aspirational leader in Derby, I would just love to have a conversation and folks can reach out to me. And I just really enjoy hearing from people and what it's like for them at their league in their world. So those are the two things on my mind that I would love to connect with people to talk leadership, and a webinar coming up. More information will be materializing as it gets solidified.
Be sure to send that along to me and I'll make sure I share it too.
Beautiful. Yeah, thanks so much. That'd be great.
And how can people contact you if they want to talk about leadership?
They can go to my website, worksportlife.com, and there's like somewhere in there, contact me. But really, it's email is the best, which is Iggy, Iggy, at worksportlife.com. That's like all one big clumpy word.
How did you get worksportlife.com? That's really awesome.
I think it was just an available URL. Like, it really was like the motivator for that. So I don't know. And so my actual business is WSL Leadership Coaching, which stands for Work, Sport, Life, right? And people are like, what's this WSL? I'm like, the URL I could get. I don't know. These are the areas where but also fundamentally, I mean, it's easy to say the URL I could get. The reality is these are the areas that I focus on in terms of leadership and team development. Like, you can lead in your work or your sport and literally your life.
I'm so excited for you that you got those words. That's great.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Iggy, thank you so much for being on the podcast this week. I really appreciate you giving your time for everybody.
Well, thanks so much for such great questions. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you again to Iggy Perillo for joining us for today's episode. I really enjoyed this conversation. I love talking about leadership. I love talking about communication. And I feel like we covered these topics really well, but there's so much more we could talk about. So I think Iggy might have to come back in the future, because after we stopped hitting the record button, we kind of just kept talking for a while, and I regretted that I had ever stopped recording, because we could have done a whole nother episode. So look forward to that in the future if you really enjoyed this one. I think some of the really good takeaways today, in particular that I enjoyed, was when Iggy said, you're leading people, you're not leading data. So I hope that when you go back into Derby, as you're going back in your organization, that you, yeah, look at data, but try to see people as complete people with complete stories and understand the members of your organization better in the future so that you know you're making the right decisions for everybody. And the other thing that I really liked that I think will be helpful to a lot of people is don't forget to approach difficult conversations with curiosity. I think you will build bridges better that way by asking questions and by genuinely caring and wanting to learn about people and why they chose to do something and why they wrote this thing down that we all have to follow. I think just that's a good rule of thumb for life. Just be more inquisitive with your friends, your neighbors, especially as we approach another political season. Instead of just telling people like, ooh, you bad, thing you think bad, maybe just ask, why do you think that? And have a conversation, because I think that's the only way we'll actually be able to move forward together. And I like moving forward together. That's kind of my jam. Thank you for listening to this episode today. Thank you again to our special guest, Iggy. Please go check out worksportlife.com and watch for any information about the upcoming webinar funness. And also want to thank our patrons on Patreon. I really appreciate all of you who have stuck with me. I know it's hard without Derby. I really appreciate you continuing to support me as I try to give you a little something, a little bit of comfort to get you through the week, remind you of the roller derbies, and especially our top tier patrons by Felicia, Stevie Kicks, Tara Wiebenson, and the training team at Charlotte Roller Derby. Thank you to Genergy, our transcriber, who makes all these episodes more accessible to everybody. And thanks to everybody who shared things on social media this week. Really appreciate you. Also, one of our listeners, Darth Spartacus, hey, shout out, wrote a blog article for About Betty's. And you can check that out on aboutbetty's.com. And thank you to our sponsors, About Betty's and Roller Derby Athletics. Really appreciate you. Thank you, all of you listeners. You are the best. We have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew! Thank you for listening to another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number 4, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E. You can find fun videos of on and off skates training at our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. You could also support the podcast on Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. The benefits of becoming a patron include fun stuff I can send you, like stickers, buttons, or shirts from our Threadless store. You can get access to our Discord server, bonus content, and free giveaways. Plus, patrons now have access to an ad-free version of the podcast that will download to your favorite podcast app each week, and everyone can access our transcribed episodes at patreon.com/powerfourthwhistle. If you like the content we provide and want to support us on this journey, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to expand your derby wardrobe, of course, another way to support the podcast is visiting our store at powerfourthwhistle.threadless.com, where you can get our designs on just about any type of apparel or accessory you can dream up. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. Leaving reviews is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Plus, it's a way you can give back that is completely free. Open up your Apple Podcast app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!